Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT.
The season has officially started, and with a bang, no less. We'll be breaking down every detail of the Rockets and Lakers brawl, discussing who was the major player, whether Ingram, Paul, or Rondo. We'll also be touching on some Pelicans news, asking whether they'll lead the league in scoring. Does Nikola Mirotic fit better than Boogie? And will the Lakers ultimately regret letting Julius Randle go? We'll also be debating whether Jason Tatum is the best player on the Celtics. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin.
Good morning,
well,
afternoon or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things. With
pauses,
me today,
extensions.
Yes, I know, I'm jazzing it up.
Hey.
Yeah, hold on, I've got
jazz
some...
heads.
Jazz hands.
Yeah.
There we go.
I didn't hear that.
So, all right, we'll fix that. It's a good start.
Good start, fun.
With me today, as always, we've got the J-Man, Jack Manuel. How are you, mate?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Been obsessing over basketball the last few days.
Oh, it's good to have it.
I'm
back.
It spoke to me, the message you sent me. I think I was at work on my lunch break and I saw it. It's like, what do I do? There are so many games on. Which one do I watch? And unless your team is playing...
Like, it was the day after opening day. Because opening day was easy. One game. But then the next day,
11?
There was like... Something like that. And I'm just like, my mind is... I need to get used to this again. Like, I need to get used to
the
picking
flicking.
And choosing.
Yep.
Yeah, picking and choosing
last
my games.
Quarters.
Yeah, that's it. Like, assessing, like... You lose a lot, though, doing that. So, like, you obviously lose a lot not watching every game. But what can you do?
But that is the NBA experience.
That is,
you know, I watched...
The nature of the beast.
It is the nature of the beast. But I watched a little bit of, like, at the end of the Mavs and Timberwolves game, which was kind of cool. It's just... I don't know. I'm buzzing. I'm in a different state of mind now that basketball back. It's pretty awesome. It's like Christmas, my birthday, and sex all at once.
I mean, that sounds like a time.
Yeah. I thought you were going to play something because your hand was reaching out.
Yeah, no, I'm fixing levels, mate. I'm doing some podcasty audio things while my eyebrows
don't
are reaching.
Don't raise your eyebrows. It's like you're doing a video.
My name is Nick Busink, as you may know. And Jack, you had some shade thrown at you.
Minor.
In some pickup.
All
of life. Are you an old man?
I mean,
apparently.
Apparently so. 16-year-old...
Thon McCurr in the
McCurr
making.
Like dude who was just absolutely awesome. I tried to throw a little back, but I felt like George Costanza because all my best comebacks came on the car. Like I could have gone, well, mate, talk to me when you got some pubes. Talk to me when you got some facial hair and stuff.
But bang!
It was a nice back and forth, and it's part of the wonderfulness of that is playing.
I mean, that's pickup ball. You lose a lot of that in Australia, I think. Like I don't think there's a lot of ribbing that
goes
on.
Not a heap of banter.
Nah, because like
cockiness isn't really here.
Yeah, like I mean it was good to like it was different to the sort of confidence that it was confidence that these kids have. It's like this guy's like your height,
a decade younger.
A good 10 years younger and just paid you out, and I'm sitting on your team and I'm just laughing at you. Like, I'm not backing you up.
I didn't play bad basketball by any stretch. I was just, I gave him a little back when, like, you know, his team wouldn't pass him the ball. I'm like, they're not looking for you, mate. They're not looking for you. But it was fun. I really liked that drill that we did. But we should stop talking about our awesome basketball exploits and talk about the people that get paid to do it, Nicholas.
Well, that's right.
Buizink Manuel scale.
The Buizink-Manuel scale. Do you want to go and explain what that scale is?
I shall. For those who are new, JBT scale, created by us. It's been going on for a while now. Sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We scale it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, and straight up fact. And Nick, Lakers Rockets. Wowee.
Wow.
What a time to be alive.
Before we get to that one, mate.
Yeah, what do you got for me?
The NBA's back, baby.
Ha 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 ha
Jack. The internet is a beautiful, wonderful thing.
It is, and it only gets better. I don't know how people just... The tones and the
I don't know how they do it. Why? But I'm so glad that they do
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, sir, yes, sir.
All right, but... mate, let's get down to some... basketball's back.
Yes.
Shall we play it again? No, let's not.
We might do it next episode. If the people want it.
We will definitely
If we get one email or one person in the DMs or on Twitter telling us to do it, we'll do it every episode.
Damn right.
All right.
But, big news. Today.
Lakers-Rockets,
mate. Lakers-Rockets.
Like, we didn't record yesterday.
Oh, buddy boy.
Buddy boy.
Buddy boy.
What the hell?
What a... I mean, game aside. I mean, I think the game was secondary.
Yeah. It was pretty entertaining game.
Still. Yeah, I mean, Harden dropped 36, I think. And yeah, LeBron, obviously. First home game. It's always going to be good.
Celebrities were there.
You know, Floyd Mayweather. I mean, fittingly.
Yes, absolutely.
But there was a little bit of unfortunateness.
Scuffle.
To say the least. I think it was...
Heated scuffle.
I think we can class it above a scuffle.
Heated scuffle. Anyway, shenanigans.
For those of you who are more or less unaware, there was a fight that happened between Rajon Rondo and Chris Paul. Brandon Ingram threw some punches.
We've got a clip for you guys.
Yeah, we'll play the clip. Essentially a play-by-play.
Yeah.
A play-by-play of
Mike Breen, and there's no better person to describe it because our voices, our descriptions, we don't do it justice. Mike Breen, in describing the game of basketball, there is no better man. We'll hear it from him.
Oh. And then Paul gets in the face. Rondo throws a punch. Paul throws a punch. Ingram comes in here. He throws a punch. Those three will be suspended for those punches.
Multiple games.
And James quickly getting Paul out of it. As Mark said, when Chris Paul was over here, he said that Rondo spit on him. And again, couldn't see anything there on the replay. James and Paul, such close friends. James able to calm him down momentarily.
All right. So yep. we've got Abusive Manuel for this. And given, I mean, if you haven't seen the footage, go watch it. You got a little bit of a play-by-play from the Mike Breen himself. Brandon Ingram deserves or should get the most severe punishment after that altercation. And so, I mean, this sort of started with him shoving Harden.
Yeah.
On a play, which was...
pretty innocuous.
Yeah, I mean, it was uncalled for. Harden was just
Harden
like, what are you...
doing Harden things.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, Harden was just like, what are you doing, mate? They quickly, you know, I think it was Capella or Mello, wrapped up Ingram straight away and be like, don't do this, man. Like, and he got... He went away. Like, Zoe was there, pulling him away. It was Stevenson, I'm pretty sure. Stevenson put him away.
Imagine Len Stevenson.
The peacemaker. The fresh maker.
Yeah.
Mentos, give us some money. Stop
it! We're just sportsmen, so we're not doing Mentos this week, mate. Come on. Mentos,
the fresh maker. Anyway. So he sort of started the heat. He's put it on a light simmer.
Yeah.
He's definitely put the pot on the stove.
It's not boiling yet, baby.
It's not boiling yet, but he's put the pot on the stove and it is heating up.
Yeah.
And then Rajon comes in with a blowtorch. I like these cooking pots.
And then Chris Paul comes with the flamethrower.
Yeah, and then, Chris Paul does sort of like an eye gouge almost. Or like
scratches the corneas almost.
And then pushes his face and then that sets Rondo off. But apparently Rondo spat in his face. I mean...
where do we go, Nick?
I mean, you see Harden wipe his face. I'm not sure that he's lying about that. But should Brandon Ingram get the most severe punishment? Because he came in afterwards and threw a huge haymaker.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about his wingspan a little bit, but man.
I mean, it was pretty much from half court. Inspector Gadget, just go.
Little bit. I mean, I expect probably Paul to get... he sort of... you know, you said that Ingram sort of started it. But I expect Paul and Ingram, to a lesser extent, Rondo will definitely get some... definitely some games, like Jeff Van Gundy was saying. It'll be multiple games. The Woj...
you say multiple games. Like, if you're putting Chris Paul and Brandon Ingram in the same ilk...
yeah.
Which I think, like, Chris Paul definitely instigated the punch from Rondo.
Yep, the gouging.
And...
Rondo's was a response.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, Ingram was out. And Ingram had no... yeah.
Yeah. Made it go...
yeah, escalated. He escalated it tenfold.
Yeah.
So I agree with that, both of them. But how many games do you reckon? Like five?
Four. It's really hard to say now. And funnily enough, the head of, I believe, NBA fishing, Kiki Vandeweghe, was at the game. And an OTG writer put out a tweet. I think it was Corey Waldron, was just like, this is like getting into a fight in front of your principal when you take it to the assembly.
That's right.
So, and Woj has reported as well that the officials are meeting as early as tonight to decide on the punishments for the parties involved. If I'm given a general range, it was pretty severe. Now, we're not talking malice at the palace sort of stuff, but this is, since I've been an NBA fan, I haven't seen this much violence, so to speak.
I mean, I think I saw one between, was it Dwight and Cantor? Like, a few, I think there were some punches thrown there.
Yeah.
But none of them connected.
Yeah, the wild haymakers. Yeah, I think Joakim might have been in it or something, or Thompson.
Yeah, actually, I think it was Noah. That
it was centers.
Bell.
It was centers of some sort.
There were some centers in there.
We suck centers. Yeah. But in relation to abusing Van Wilde, I'll probably say
does
Chris
he deserve
Paul,
the most?
I think
severe.
Chris Paul probably got the most because he was the one that started, like you know, said lit the flame, and then Ingram, you know, just went next level, went Super Saiyan mode on it, and then Rondo was obviously a key factor as well, but he was sort of responding. Whether spit was saliva left the mouth of Rondo, I said to this to you before we recorded that I think Rondo was just like being very demonstrative and speaking loudly and like you know. Maybe it may have covered him. He might have used some hard peas on Chris Paul, and then it might have got in his face. And we saw the wipe.
We saw the wipe. I think
there was a definite wipage.
There was wipage.
But there's plenty of angles.
We're frame by frame this stuff. You know, like
you can't get anything more, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing this frame. But also, Shams has reported as well that along with Chris Paul and Rajon Rondo altercation in the game, one of Rondo's family members apparently confronted Chris Paul's wife, Jada. The NBA is actually investigating that as well. So this is just going onwards
this
and upwards.
This is going off the court as well.
This is
taking
dangerous. The Houston Rockets behind-the-scenes tunnel saga to like a next level. Like, is Clint Capella knocking on the doors right now at Staples? Like, it's...
Same venue as well. Like, I would not... Like, who's to say they didn't have an altercation afterwards that didn't get back to the media?
Yeah.
I mean, they already know their way around the tunnels at the Staples.
Absolutely. So. Chris Paul knows them inside and out.
Exactly.
But, Mark Spears also reported as well, Meta World Peace, you know, the peacemaker himself. We talked about Len Stevenson. He said, I hope everyone doesn't get fined. It was a fight. It was unfortunate. The first time they've ever thrown punches. They shouldn't do it. It happened. I've never seen them fight before. I don't think anyone should be suspended. All right. Come on, bro. Like, surely your name has to be changed from Meta World Peace to, like, Meta, like...
Stupid.
Just Meta. Meta Stupid, yeah. That's actually pretty good, Nick. You should coin that. Yeah, copyright sure. It.
I mean, it's a dumb take. I mean, if it's out of character for me to murder someone, but if I go
it's
out...
It's the first time, then, Nick, exactly, mate. Come on. Like, you just slipped over with your knife in his heart. Come on, just...
it was an innocent killing.
Have charges been laid? Are you still allowed to do this podcast?
Nick, I mean, I'm not allowed 10 feet within a school.
Okay.
So, I mean, 10 miles.
Well, definitely don't pick me up from work anytime soon then. Tim Reynolds put out this tweet, and I'm literally just scrolling along Twitter just before we were recording. Funnily enough, this is a quote from former Celtics PR legend, Jeff Twiss. The first time there's history between, obviously, Rondo and CP3 that dates back to 2009. Rajon Rondo has requested you not ask anything about Chris Paul now, tomorrow, or any other time. This has been brewing, and since the Celtics days, since Paul's Pelicans days, there's a history there. It exploded and erupted in a really violent manner. It's unfortunate, to quote Meta World Peace, but I did answer your question, Nick, so I'll go out on a limb here. I'll say Paul will get 10, Ingram will get 8.
10 games?
I think it's pretty serious. I think that he gets the most in 10 games is a round number, so I'm just giving it some credence. And I think Rondo gets 5, 6. I don't know if his was half as bad. He did punch first, so to speak, but Paul did instigate it with the eye gouge.
Yeah.
Another horrible take is from Jamil Hill, a wonderful reporter, but I don't understand this. And she tweeted this out. She said, Brandon Ingram is about to gain a lot of respect from his teammates. He was about that life. I don't know if she was hyped because Jamel Hill is normally very measured and very, you know, she's very well rounded in how she views sports, life, politics, everything in general. But like, she's advocating for violence and the fact that it's going to get him some, like, you know, brandy points with LeBron. Like, I don't think that it's going to get anything. Like, yes, obviously he's going into bat for his teammates.
I mean, if he gets,
but punching someone in the back of the head when they're not looking, I mean, that's a Lenny move. That's a homer on Lenny move
exactly.
Right there.
I mean, tomorrow I'm going to punch Lenny in the back of the head. Hopefully, I mean, thankfully Rondo wasn't drinking coffee. No, not Rondo, Paul. But yeah, I mean, does Brandon Ingram deserve the most severe punishment? I would give this one a fact. I think he does.
Okay.
Instigated the...
Why?
He put the kettle on boil.
Nick, mate. Getting with, I mean, the... Have you had dinner tonight yet?
I mean, yes, I
have. Okay.
It was delicious. Thank you for asking.
Never mentioned food,
I mean,
on a podcast.
He heated it up. You know, he's given it a bit of a...
Yeah, it's about 95 degrees.
So quite caramelized. But it's sauteed.
What's going on?
I don't know. But he was out. That's the thing. He was out of the conflict.
Yeah.
And then sprints back in to throw a single haymaker before someone stopped him.
Yeah.
That's extremely poor form.
Uncharacteristic as well, because lots of people talk about Ingram and say he's very quiet-natured, very docile. A piece on Bleacher Report I read was that, you know, coaches across his history, his family, had to, like, make him be more outspoken and more vocal and more demonstrative, and, you know, it relates to his game.
But this is too far to one extreme.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, of course.
Everyone gets pissed at Chris Paul's antics and drawing those and ones, but, like...
Yeah.
There's a limit, bro. Like, just chill.
Yeah, I know. And,
what,
like,
0 to 100 real quick.
Like, I don't hate the push. Like,
no.
That's
a flagrant,
that's crappy
one,
yeah,
or
like,
two.
Or a technical, like,
yeah,
whatever. But then it's out. But to rush back in to start swinging, I definitely think he deserves. I mean, when you said 10, I'm like, Jesus. At least 5 games.
Okay. Okay.
With Paul and Rondo probably receiving 3
okay.
each.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's... It's been a very long time since people have landed haymakers.
Well, that's right. Like, so, like, what's the norm?
Yeah,
of suspend.
Our
of
history as NBA
yeah.
supporters isn't as long as it doesn't stretch as far. You know,
exactly.
We're not as learned in that sort of sense. We don't date back to the '80s and nineties, those sort of olden style days. But Nick, lots of people are hating on LeBron's.
Well, I was just about to ask you this.
Yeah,
because LeBron was seen to take Chris Paul away, and generally, I guess the thing that's expected is to back your teammates and get your teammates away from the
altercation.
Yes. But I mean, from what is generally taught, I'm going to put that in inverted commas, taught about that sort of conflict resolution, is you don't go for the player, you don't go for the person who you don't know. Like, if your friend is having a scuffle with someone you don't know, you don't go and try to separate the person you don't know.
Yeah.
You go to your friend and take them out.
His antics,
exactly.
His
you know how they're going to react. They're going to react a lot better to you taking them out of the fight than you going to someone else and taking them out of the fight.
Yeah. I think that's a fairly measured and well thought out.
And I
take.
Think that's the thing. Like, people are thinking, oh, well, you know, is Rondo not LeBron's friend?
Yeah.
Like, well, not to the extent of Paul.
And I think as well,
not.
In terms of the whole... if you take away the friendship and the prior relationships here, he was a key instigator in stopping this entire altercation, this entire situation, by being able to go, you know, 6'8", dude grabbing a 5'11", dude, just go, dude, just stop this. He literally had his arm over his shoulder, like almost in a somewhat stranglehold to sort of stop the altercation entirely. And, you know, he gave him a pat on the back, and a lot of people will go, oh, what's LeBron doing? Pat in the back of his head. But LeBron is friendly, obviously. They're best friends, if not with Dwayne
That's
Wade
right.
and such.
That's
so
right. Yeah.
I don't hate it because it... And for those that do, then, you know, I hate to say it, but where are your priorities in this entire situation? Why are you... nitpicking the...
I can definitely see Rondo being like, hey man, why didn't you back me up?
I mean, if I'm
Rondo... I can so see Rondo doing that to LeBron.
Of course, but if that's the case, trade the bum. He's on a one-year contract.
Like, I know,
and he's the one that's, like, you know, spitting or whatever. If he's not there, the situation doesn't happen. But, like, Rondo and Paul, who knows? We've dedicated enough time to this, Nick. If you guys want to give us your take, you know, at the JMN JBT. At JBT Nick, he's back on Twitter, guys.
Make I am back on Twitter. JBT Nick.
Yes.
Follow me. I've only got 12 followers.
I've grown a lot since then.
Please follow me.
I've grown heaps. I'm almost at 400.
I've got some fire takes.
He does. It's pretty good. But basketball's upon us, Nicholas, and Kawhi Leonard is the Eastern Conference's best player.
Shall we play the thing again? No, let's not.
No. All right.
Kawhi Leonard is Eastern Conference's best player. You tell me that 2 weeks ago, I would have scoffed. Scoffed, I say.
Don't say in I your say. Face. This isn't a 1950s podcast.
I would have
done over candlelight.
Scoffed and been... Nonsense. I put the challenge to him, I guess, and he was listening. I have no doubt about that.
Kawhi Leonard does not listen to podcasts. He listened to, like, crappy NPR or country music.
He listened to Kendrick. His favorite artist is Kendrick.
Where did you read that? GQ or something?
It was one of those, like, Toronto things. No. In the Toronto game, where it's like they do, like, the timeout stuff. Like, get to know Kawhi.
Yeah.
You know what the funniest thing about that was?
What?
He didn't say a word. It was just pictures and then words.
And he just thumbs out.
Yeah, it wasn't actually him saying, hey, I like Kendrick. It wasn't... Oh, it's just... That's classic Kawhi. Anyway,
is he? Fact?
Maybe.
Get off the fence, Nick.
That's the whole point
it's
of the scale.
Games. It's 3 games in.
That's the whole point of the scale. I'm giving this one a Twitter fact.
Okay.
Because, by God, if he hasn't proved me wrong. Because, one, there were two factors why I picked Toronto finish fifth. And it was all revolving around Kawhi. But one was Kawhi's confidence. I did not think he would be nearly as confident as he has been.
Yep.
In the shot, in the drive, into the decision making.
He's only going to get better.
Exactly. So I didn't think the confidence was going to be there, and then I didn't think he'd play a whole season.
Yeah.
And the second part's still yet to be seen, but his confidence is sky high right now, and I am so happy.
And
I'm so happy. But yes, if I mean 3 games in, he dominated us. He didn't play.
He rested.
It was the game before.
Yeah, against Boston.
Yeah, so he's played 2 games. Toronto have played 3. Yep. Absolutely dominated, 31-10, I think he was.
Yep.
Not the most efficient game, but that's only going to improve.
Yep.
And his confidence is there. He's taken 20 shots a game. That is amazing.
Yeah.
20 plus. I mean, Twitter fact, only because I mean, even Jason Tatum, man.
Oh, come on, mate. Jeez.
I mean, is he... We'll get to this later.
Yeah.
We'll get to this later. But, I mean, the Celtics themselves are phenomenal. Like,
of course.
You can make a case for Ben Simmons and Embiid. More so Embiid.
Yeah.
But he started... His first game was very slow.
I think that Giannis and Kawhi are in a league of
but
their
yeah,
own.
Giannis obviously so far has been amazing.
That is why... I mean, I'm going to give it Wiki because I think Kawhi has the backing behind him and Giannis has to... probably prove a little bit more that he's going to get to that next step. And boy, has he done some things so far, though.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah.
Coach Bud's system is tailored for him to be an MVP. Like,
it's amazing how much offense they... Like, the offense
they're
that they're generating...
They're going to be... Yeah. I think they're going to be top 5 offense, possibly. And just because the ball zips so much, they find open shots. Brook Lopez is starting. John Henson is shooting threes. It's just perfectly tailored to Giannis. If he can get a little bit more efficient, it's early in the season. You could say the same thing for Kawhi.
Yep.
But I think that, you know, Kawhi could put himself into sort of the MVP race because right now, I can't remember who said this, but I agree with it, that it's almost Davis and Giannis's race right now.
Mm.
And like they're all, and it's only 3-4 games in. But it's theirs to lose, a lot of people are saying. And I don't disagree, but I think Wiki, because I think Kawhi Leonard will only get better, and Giannis is right on his heels, so he's probably just ahead of him right now. But it's going to be... The Eastern Conference is not the Leastern Conference anymore, Nicholas. It's,
yes.
It's certainly had its dark days, but man, Eastern Conference basketball is fun to watch, despite the fact that your Wizards and my Nets are still playing. But we've both had a win, so fist bump. We just fist bump. You can't hear it. Nikola Mirotic, Nicholas. Big fan of his. Might feature in JB Team this week.
Yep.
Fits better with Anthony Davis than Boogie did.
Of course. Oh. Hashtag fact.
Wow.
I mean, it's...
Why?
You need to surround Davis with shooters. I mean, that was the whole problem with... People were not high on the Pelicans. I mean, I would like to say that...
Oh, come on!
I just want to say, of all the takes that I made during the offseason... one of them's paying off so far.
It's done well.
And it's the Pelicans doing well. Obviously, there were valid concerns about how much shooting the Pelicans had with the addition of Randall.
He's been awesome, though. Payton, he's shooting threes.
Exactly. Alfred Payton, yep.
Triple double.
Yep, not being able to shoot threes. So people were worried about the fit. How does Randall fit with Davis? But Mirotić made sense. Mirotić played well in, amazing in the playoffs as well.
Yeah.
Like, he is a shooting machine. And of course, he's going to fit better than Davis. Davis now plays the center role, which wasn't his preferred thing. But a center role Gentry?
Gentry, you said it right, mate. First time. Don't say Gentry.
Now, Gentry just sounds like it's not a word. Like, you know, when you oversay a word. Anyway, the center position in Gentry's system is not a traditional center.
No.
Utilizing Davis perfectly, surrounding with shooters.
Yeah, and they're going to be awesome. They're one of the most fun teams to watch so far. I've got to go with the fact with this as well. I think, despite the Twin Towers effect, the experiments, obviously, you can't say failing because injuries and circumstances, obviously, such things happen. But
it's just a simple fact of who stretches the floor better, Mirotić or Boogie?
Mirotić
stretched, like, Boogie still stretched the floor.
Yeah.
He was still, like, a semi-decent...
Doesn't fit this new, like you're talking about, this new Gentry... You're saying it now. This new... It feels like Inception. I've got something else. This new Gentry system, which is insanely fast basketball, insane amount of pace, which we will get to. The Pelicans are a hot topic, and we're not going to discount them on this podcast. But still on them, the Lakers will regret letting Julius Randle go, Nicholas. We talked about it a little bit in off-season.
He had an amazing contract year.
Great season for the Lakers last year.
And that's what killed them, really. That's what killed the Lakers. Like,
could they have not offered 1 year, $20 million to him, and then just, you know, I think he's on 2 years, 18 with a player option.
It doesn't fit. Like, if he had a poor season, they could sign him to something cheaper.
Yeah.
Then it would be, but they couldn't afford Julius Randle with the season that he had.
Well, if he's taken 2 and 18 in New Orleans, I think he can. I think
because of the grand plans that they've got in Lakertown.
But what do you mean by the grand plans? Do you mean by the new scheme in place by Coach Walton?
More the hope of landing
a free agent.
Yeah, like next
1 year
next
deal,
year.
Nick. Just 1 year, like, sort of splashy deal, similar to like JJ Redick style. Trevor Ariza.
I mean, you don't know what happened behind those closed
doors. No, absolutely.
He could have not wanted a 1 year deal.
Absolutely not, and I get that. But if I was Magic Johnson, if I was Rob Pelinka, I'm offering him 1 year 15, 1 year 18, 1 year 20 might be my sort of limit to keep him around, because he was maybe the Lakers' best player last season with Brandon Ingram, and I think he would have fit in this system right now that they're having, and also the fact that he would be probably their best center on the roster as well. I think he'd fit perfectly in, and
like he's. I feel like Randall's just a better Lance Stephenson.
What do you mean by that, though? But they play completely different positions.
No, as in, like, because Stephenson's not an amazing shooter.
No, he's a horrible shooter.
Exactly. Well, neither is Randall.
But Randall
right now is showing that. Yeah, okay.
But
different positions, but same sort of
energy.
Not so much like counter, almost like you pack paint.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if this is
I'm very confused by this.
I understand where you're coming from. It's like, have they regretted taking Randall, because then they went and got
Rondo, Stevenson,
exactly.
Beasley. If you are, for example, Nick, if I'm going, like, I'm the Rob Pelinka Magic Johnson, and I sign all these guys for one season, I put it to you, keeping Julius Randle is a better decision than signing all those guys in the first place. Would you rather have Julius Randle than Rajon Rondo right now on this Lakers team? He's punching guys.
I mean, yeah.
Should
it be discounting that?
What do you
mean? This stuff's inevitable with Rajon Rondo. Maybe not the bloody punches.
The hot-headedness.
Yeah, exactly. The disharmony he can create. We saw it at the Celtics. We saw it at the Lakers. Lakers. Well, we're seeing it at the Lakers.
Yep.
And we saw it at the Bulls.
Yep.
He doesn't work well with teams.
Yep.
If you put it like that, then definitely. Like, will they? I mean, Will they regret letting Julius Randle go?
Yes.
Probably.
Yep, yeah. This is a hashtag fact for me. Yeah. Still on the Pelicans, final one. The Pelicans will lead the league in scoring by the end of the season, Nicholas.
So are we saying offensive rating or like literal just raw scoring?
I'm going raw scoring because it's... Okay. And they've already...
I mean, surely that
averaging
means...
Averaging 140 points a game.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, 140 means,
points a game!
But that's because their pace is so big. And insane. Offensive rating is per 100 possessions. So it doesn't matter how many possessions you have in the game.
Yeah.
That more it comes into efficiency.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I'm gonna sort of segue this as well. Like, because will they lead the league in scoring?
Scoring?
Wikipedia fact.
Okay, who do you think's their contender?
Only simply because, if you take a moment and just look at all of the scores from every game so far...
It's been insane.
They're all super high.
It's like a 120... it's like 110 average so far or something. Like 115.
And I can't decide whether it's...
An aberration?
Well, not... I can't decide whether it's more emphasis has been placed on offense and letting defense lack.
Okay.
Or... offense has evolved
faster
than defense,
yeah.
And so the way that the NBA is moving, it's harder to defend the current offensive game.
It's probably a little bit of both.
And I think it would be a little bit of both. Like, I think that emphasis of offense is making it really hard to defend. Like, it's almost impossible to defend.
I think transition offense has been a real key emphasis for a lot of teams.
I mean, you're seeing, like you said, the Pelicans and even the Lakers have put an emphasis on going fast. Your Nets started this revolution like 2 years ago with
Rockets a little bit.
Yeah, like I remember you guys.
Our pace was insane.
Yeah, leading the league in pace, and now people are starting to cotton on to that. You know, more pace, more possessions, more chances for buckets. You know,
yeah, and I think it relates a little bit to early season as well. I think defenses aren't necessarily as engaged. The scouting hasn't been done yet by coaches, assistant coaches and stuff. So I think this will level out. It's certainly fun basketball to watch. It's very entertaining, but it's not going to last.
But like in terms of this one, like I put this as a wiki because it's very likely that they could.
Yeah.
But then you've still got the offensive juggernauts of
Warriors,
Golden State, and Boston. Even bloody Aaron Baines is making threes, man.
Baines!
That is scary for the Eastern Conference.
It's awesome.
You know, like Kyle Lowry killed us today with his threes.
Yeah,
you know?
He's doing a good season so far.
There are a lot of good offensive teams out there. So,
the Jazz scored 81 points in the first half against the Golden State
Jazz,
Warriors, and they scored 69 points.
Like when the Jazz are starting to score 130 points a game. Oh man,
it's pretty wild. But a lot of coaches are saying that they're hating the defense from their team, so it's going to be an aberration. But Nick, we'll move on to KD. There's always going to be some KD news lingering around, and Bill Simmons has some this time. On a recent pod, he advocated that KD leaving the Warriors would be weirder than him joining the team in the first place. I like this topic, but what do you think?
I mean, if we come out at the end of the season, at the end of his contract, I mean, you're thinking ahead. And he leaves to... Does it say...
It doesn't say a team, but he leaves. Yeah.
What's weird about that?
But is it weirder than...
It's not weirder than him joining the Warriors.
Is that...
Like, the fact that he left OKC wasn't weird. It was the fact that he joined the Warriors.
Right.
What team in your head, other than like... Like, if he joined the Magic, weird.
Yeah.
Why? What the hell?
Okay.
But if... I don't think it's weirder than him joining a 73-9 team.
Yeah, I think, yeah, your definition of weird is like, what's going on here? I think it depends on, like you said, if they win the championship, they don't win the championship. No one really knows what's going on in KD's head. The Knicks rumors are going to linger throughout the season because he's one of the few players to not put the sort of free agency sort of rumors to rest, unlike Kyrie, Klay Thompson, and others. So I think that that's going to be one thing that we're going to see for a while. But continuing on that, speaking of KD, I think you retweeted this from
going
well on Twitter, mate. I believe in you.
Thank you.
Go for that hundo. He needs to get his brother off Instagram.
Oh,
Nick,
man.
Like, it's just like, just stay off and give us some context. Give
All
us
right.
some background information to what happened with the broski.
Kevin Durant posted a shot of himself on Instagram with the caption, "One down, 81 to go, what a night." So after they had beaten the OKC in the first round.
Yep.
First round. In their first game. And his brother commented on this Instagram post.
No.
And be like...
No, Nick. I don't want to hear it because it's just wrong. Why? Surely maybe just block your brother and any family member from commenting on your post.
I mean, it's like...
What did he say?
What do these Durants... Durant. Like, the Durant family, do they not know how to use social media?
Oh, Wanda's with, like, not too bad. Wanda does.
I mean, with...
She's a real MVP.
But it's like, they use social media stupidly. Like, with the burner account and now this. Like, it's just dumb. Anyway, his brother commented... where is it? I can't even find it now.
You got it?
No. Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir, brother. Filling the hand up... Before we get out of here,
Nick.
What does that mean, Jack?
He's coming to Brooklyn, obviously.
Yeah, he's obviously Brooklyn.
We got the cap space for it.
Yeah, I mean, so what is he giving you a little bit of an insight on what's happening, like, in family discussions? As he already said, hey, listen, this is my last season here.
Yeah.
Let's win the championship. Do it for the fam.
The fam.
Do it for the fam.
That's the name of the episode.
100%. Fuck, I love it when we come across gold like
so
that.
So insane.
Yeah.
Is he doing it for the fam, Nick?
Yeah. But he doesn't. Yeah, and then he comes out with this. Like, how dumb are? Even if it was a joke, it just creates a media storm for his brother that was. Unnecessary.
I think... it's a hashtag fact. He does need to keep his brother off Instagram.
100%.
Obviously, whether, you know, he knows anything, who knows, really? Because Kevin Durant is almost an enigma in a different way to Kawhi Leonard, but he's very... a unique fellow. It's part of the reason why he's so awesome, why he's so great, and he's developing, like, and not just on the court, but off the court, and, like, his brand and his persona... I'm kind of liking it. I like to see this sort of transformation. KD's around my age as well, a little bit older, so it's sort of like nice to see how a man grow into his own. But is he New York bound? Man, I don't know if we can fit him under the cap with Caris LeVert playing like this, but Nick.
Yeah, you take Caris LeVert over Kevin Durant any day.
Hey, don't worry about it, baby. Via the starters, the 76ers success. Success always trips me up for some reason. Depends on Markel Fultz. Does it? Does it not? Does it?
Does I mean, it not? Markel Fultz offers another layer of depth.
Depth.
So...
there's been a lot of sisses and thuts. It's not good for the marks and the
Fultz,
spit.
Yes. I mean, we've got the pop filters. So, yes, that, I mean, that's why we do it. I think maybe.
Okay.
I'm giving this one a...
Twitty?
Twitter. I'm not ready to give it a Wikipedia fact.
Twitskies. Yep.
A Twitter fact. Only because without Fultz, they're lacking in depth. Like, it's not to the point of if Fultz plays well, then the team plays well. Like a barometer.
Yeah,
because I think those like Simmons and Embiid Simmons and are Embiid. Definitely the barometer of that team. Maybe even Redick. Like if Redick's having a fire game, then they win that game.
Yeah.
But Fultz is a very very important piece, so that they don't get starved at the point guard position. In their team.
But it's obviously he's starting now. This experiment that's happening currently. I'm not an advocate for it, but I understand in terms of backing a kid in, and he is. He's still a kid. He's taken a one perimeter shot maybe. I think he made
one. He's made one.
I think you know the crowd went wild at it, like it was you know the like they won the Super Bowl and they have. So. I'll give it Twitskies as well. I'll go Wiki because I think finding if Fultz is a number three guy, bona fide number three guy, you know, it's and then you have Covington and Šarić and JJ Redick, that's a near championship team already.
Yeah.
If Fultz is not at his best and never realizes his potential and doesn't show enough this year, then I don't think he's gonna be on the Sixers much longer. I can't. Somewhat similar situation to what's happening with D'Angelo Russell. Like, these guys have, like, glimpses that they've shown in college and, you know, outside of the NBA. But if you can't show it at NBA level and within, you know, your team system, then you need to change scenery for your, you know, best interest and for your team's best interest. So...
I mean, it's even a matter of, like, I heard this on a Ringer... I heard this on a Ringer podcast. Look at me doing a Jack and referencing...
Hey! Anyway, Nick's back to listen to podcasts.
The Sixers... best Like, the Sixers at their best is not with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. It's with one or the other. And I was thinking...
I disagree.
And I mean, I can't remember exactly what was being said, but I mean, the people at the Ringer are very learned.
I do remember that
They're
argument.
Very learned people. So there was... I remember listening to the podcast and thinking that there was something behind it. And to the point where even if Fultz has an amazing... has a good season.
Yeah.
Maybe sell high.
Sell high on Fultz. That's the... Obviously, when the Kawhi Leonard...
I mean, is that a waste of a pick, though? Like, they
with the Tatum, obviously.
Yeah, like...
Their careers...
They traded up for that.
Their careers are going to be intertwined because of it. And it's unfortunate that that's the case. And Markel Fultz's situation was, you know, one of the weirdest, most lingering storylines of all of last season. Ever since I've watched basketball. Because, you know, we still don't know. Like... when that tell-all book comes out in like a decade, it's going to be must-read stuff. But Nick, you put in this one, so you read it because
via good friend of the show, Shannon Sharp.
All right,
we talk to him daily,
Mr. Sharp. Sharp man
coming out with this take about Jason Tatum. Even when Kyrie plays his best night, Jason Tatum might be the best player on this ball club.
Fact? Is it a fact, Nick?
Jason Tatum a... Well, okay.
First part.
Is Jason Tatum the best player on this ball club?
Right now?
I'd say fact right now.
Kyrie hasn't...
Kyrie started slow.
He has. Maybe it's the fro. Maybe it's the headband. Maybe he's
gonna get... I love the mini fros that are
going. I do.
Just on a side note. Clay's got it. Wall's got it. Kyrie's obviously got it.
Yeah, Wall was rocking the beard
and the braids. He had
the
braids.
Braids
look
nice. I like the
but
braids.
But like, because his off-season obviously didn't have all of that. He just had the mini fro.
Yeah.
I like it.
I do.
Anyway, is he the best player on this ball club right now?
Fact.
Is he a bona fide all-star this year? All-star game, first team.
I think he is. They're likely to be...
At the guard spot or...
He's a forward.
Forward.
Whether he's a small forward, power forward, who knows? They generally don't really care. But it's about the number of votes. But I think...
I mean, you've got to compete with Giannis and Kawhi.
Yeah, that's the... I think...
For those forward spots.
As a starter, right now, when it comes to starters, it's about the fan vote. Mm. And I think right now, Jason Tatum has as much cachet as those... Maybe not Giannis, because Giannis, I think, was second
Giannis
in voting.
Giannis gets every single... Like, everyone in Europe, votes for Giannis.
I think it was
and Pachulia.
I think it was second in voting last season. Don't quote me on that, or at least third with Steph and LeBron, which is insane for a guy in his fourth or fifth season. Mm-hmm. But for me,
think about Simmons. Is Simmons a guard? I mean, he's a one through four player. You know,
both of those guys are going to be on the All Star team. Whether they start remains to be seen.
Yeah.
We'll put our takes out there. I think, yes, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I think he is going to start. Nick, is he going to start? Come on, don't pause. Don't pause. Pausing on a podcast is not a good thing.
I'm pondering. Done.
Okay, good.
He's definitely making the All-Star. He's a bona fide All-Star. Hashtag fact.
Yeah.
Mate.
Oh, okay.
Is Joe Ingles a bona fide All-Star?
Nicky boy.
Come on. Hold on. I'm getting these stats. I want to be exact on this.
All right.
Because he is averaging amazing numbers right now.
Yeah,
amazing shooting percentages.
I mean, just
talk through Ingles'
Joey boy is just a treat to watch on the floor. Mm-hmm. He's got this innate spark and X factor about him. He's a guy that just like it's... All his opponents are just like, oh, I don't need to guard this guy, but he's going to shoot 45% from three. Oh, I don't need to guard this guy. I'll just drive in and make a bucket on you, make a layup. He's just does so many things so well. Doesn't make him an all-star, God no, but he is a very, very good basketballer, and he is doing some great things on the Utah Jazz right now, and I think they were very unlucky to get that loss against Utah, but Jonas got his revenge, maybe learned to box out a little bit better, and Rudy Gobert maybe not push, but...
Does Joe Ingles make an All-Star game in the East?
Good question.
Because I put this in, because he definitely... I mean, if he continues this form, he is All-Star caliber.
Yeah.
I have no doubt he is All-Star caliber, continuing the way he is. Is he going to shoot 70% from the field?
Maybe not.
For the rest of the season?
Maybe not.
Probably not.
Maybe not.
But, like, things like... he's shooting five more. He's making five more shots a game than he was last year, because he's taking five more shots a game than last year. He started and he's taking 13 shots a game.
I think for him to make it, Nick, the Utah Jazz would have to be the 2 seed. I think because Rudy Gobert, both guys haven't made the All-Star team yet, and is Joe Ingles going to make an All-Star team before them? I'd say no, obviously.
I mean, I put this in because my reasoning, which you very much hate, was that if Lou Will can be, like, a hair away from an All-Star game,
Personally,
I think he should have been in that All-Star game, but I think him coming off the bench does not bode well.
Yeah.
Averaging more at the moment than Lou Will did last year, whether that remains is yet to be seen. But if he can average the same amount of points, why can't he make an All-Star game?
Because there's a lot of talent that's migrated west as well.
Exactly. And at that forward, at the forward spots, you've got your Davis, you've got your LeBron.
Durant.
You've got, exactly, like the three best players in basketball right now, who are obviously going to all start that game. And then you've got
Paul George,
another two and then three of wild cards.
Yeah, I think
so. Two forwards and three wild cards.
I think you'd probably say Paul George is a lock as well, but there's always a smoky in there.
Jokic, I mean, bloody hell.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be... We talked about it on our prediction pod. We'll definitely go back to that.
So is he a bona fide all-star?
God, no,
Nicholas. Ah, at least give it a Twitter. I'm giving it a Twitter.
You bum.
For the Aussie fan base.
Of course. We need to appease to them, despite the fact that we have a better American fan base. Hashtag all-American. The Nuggets were premature in extending Mike Malone's contract, Nicholas. You're a coaching expert, normally, when it comes to speaking about coaching things. What's your contract like with Williamstown?
I'm definitely on a year-by-year basis.
Okay.
On which I get no money.
Any incentives? You get like some free apples at halftime?
The parents are actually really nice. They do give me oranges at halftime, which is lovely.
Vitamin C.
But they also give me like vouchers at the end of the year. So I got gold class, like village gold class vouchers. I've got theatre vouchers. I've got like dinner vouchers all at the end of the year. And like they're really appreciative because I don't know these kids.
Why are you taking Chelsea to these things and not taking me? Because I am a key person in your love for basketball. If it weren't for me, you wouldn't be coaching right now. So you owe me big time. I see that Sun Theatre voucher up there, mate. I can see it on the Blu-rays hanging. But
we can go see El Royale.
Yeah, we're still going to see it. We're supposed to see it on the weekend. But yeah, we'll see that soon. Guys, if you've seen it, at the JMA JBT.
So were they premature in extending Mike Malone's contract? I do as well.
I have not made this...
I've said this for a very long time.
Yeah, he's not a great coach.
I don't think he is. And I don't think that he has the caliber to, one, make Jokic the player that he can potentially be.
Yeah.
To bring the franchise to where their height is, like where their ceiling is.
Yep.
I don't think that he has the caliber to do that.
There was a really nice in-depth breakdown on the Dunked On pod where they sort of broke down, you know, Mike Malone probably isn't in the top half of coaches. He doesn't have the cachet. He's not going to be in the coach of the year conversation unless the Nuggets finish third and win, somehow get close to the finals. Which could happen, but I would put that more on the talents of the players than anything that Malone has done. Maybe his player development skills, a la Kenny Atkinson, Brad Stevens.
That's exactly right. That's where I think he lacks, because I am not I'm far from an expert in actual gameplay.
He's not a great game day coach. I don't know
that. You know,
he's not Stevens.
Stevens Kerr. But then you've got your other half, or your Fizdales, who are great man managers.
Yeah.
That's what in football, that's what they're called. You've got player coaches and team coaches. Mike Malone doesn't have that either.
No.
I don't think he's utilizing, I guess isn't the right word, but he's not exploring Jokic's ceiling.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit of a safe coach.
Yes.
And I think when your job is on the line, safety's fine. You know, we all do things to save our own ass.
Mm.
But I think stability, if you had that, maybe now that he has that stability, Nick, some of the things you're talking about, he does experiment a little bit. We'll have to wait and see. It's a big year for the Nuggets. I know you're not as high on them. Definitely. I'm a little bit higher, but we'll definitely be watching their progress. Getting back to some Aussies, Nicholas. Mm-hmm. Another Aussie made his NBA debut, and it was the best debut by any Australian ever. Ryan Brokoff, baby. Why was this the best Australian debut ever, Nicholas?
I mean, he scored his first NBA points in record time.
How fast? We know where we value speed in so many different ways at JBT. We're speed, we're fast, we're efficient, we do our thing.
He was on the court for 47 seconds, I believe.
Nice.
If memory serves. Which is, you know, pretty quick. Yeah. I mean, I've lasted not as long before.
Self-burn.
But most impressive from a rookie, from an Australian rookie, we forget about Ben Simmons.
Yes. So Ben Simmons in his debut game had 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block. Where are the points for this? 18 points. So he, not bad, did end up losing.
I mean, but did he do that in 47 seconds?
No, he did not, but he lost to your Washington Wizards as well, mate. That's, Ben Simmons is probably the best Australian basketball ever, and... Mm. I mean, Joe Ingles, baby. The Clippers let him go. Joe Thringles. Dante Exum has started freaking awesome for the Jazz.
Hasn't he?
I'm so excited for him. I'm so excited for our 2020 chances.
Our DBS should definitely be some Aussie.
All Aussie edition. All right, we'll get around
later
it.
On.
Bansy.
That's right.
DBS will be back this week, ladies and gentlemen. It's a fun one. Nick, last one before we move on to our new staple. Well, not our new staples, our regular staples. What do we got? Tell me.
the All NBA Riddles on Instagram. Karis LeVert. I wonder how this got into the podcast.
I am actually run the All NBA Riddles page on Instagram.
Karis LeVert will be a top 3 candidate for most improved player.
Alternative fact, Nick. Top 1 candidate. Top 1 candidate.
You got me worried.
See the little twist
when you were just like, alternative fact, I'm like, you don't believe in Karis LeVert. Should Jared Allen not be there?
Jared Allen, yeah, I think...
I mean, is he improved? Because he was amazing last season anyway.
Yeah, I think it's more the fact that Karis LeVert is now reaching the status of being a franchise player nearly. He had 27 points his career high in the first game against the Pistons. We lost. 28 points in the following game. Another career high against the Knicks, including that absolutely clutch game winner. Made an insane defensive play today against in our horrible loss to the Pacers. If you want to hear more, you know, Brooklyn talk, I chat for plenty on the Brooklyn Buzz with my co-host OTG Nick. But he's been sensational, and I think right now he's getting a lot of respect outside of net circles, outside of me. Kevin O'Connor is like put a tweet out. You know, Karis LeVert is so good. You know, when you get those kudos from guys outside of me, then you know you're doing something pretty well, because you know I spoke a plenty about Karis LeVert. I've written plenty about Karis LeVert on Nets Republic and OTG Basketball, but he's been awesome. I'm so excited for my Nets, and that's the reason why we're not getting Kyrie, Kevin Durant, or Klay Thompson, because we've got Karis LeVert. Who needs him?
I mean, there's no reason, there's no mystery why he is he's shot up in the rankings, I guess. Usage has gone up 5%, which is, you know, from 22 to 27, it's not bad.
Yep.
But it's the difference in PER that
his efficiency
found.
Is insane.
Yeah, exactly. Like, his true shooting is 75%
right
now.
Not too bad.
That's going to taper off.
Of course.
Like, it's going to taper off. His PER right now is at 27, league average 15.
That's
like, it's PER is that bell curve.
I'm so freaking excited.
Like, he's just. I don't know. It seems to have. It's definitely clicked in the first three games.
What are you? You've seen some highlights here and there. What are your thoughts, objectively, from a non-Nets fan? I don't want to overturn this podcast into a Nets one.
I mean, from three games, he's definitely in the. Like I said, definitely in the top three of most improved player.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll stay that way, though.
Do you? You don't think he'll stay? In that conversation.
No. I think his true. I think his true shooting will. 100% taper.
I mean, of course he's going to take dips.
Of course. Like, he's not going to average 24 points a game.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be all-star level if he was averaging 24 points a game.
Yeah.
He's definitely out of the blocks quickly.
And I think that it speaks a lot, and it's going to come down to, and I've said this on plenty of podcasts and on plenty of articles, consistency. Can you back it up on a game-to-game basis? Mm-hmm. If he has this level of production for 70 to 80 games...
even if he averages like 18, that is still amazing.
He's having an Oladipo-like year. Now, I'm not comparing him, Oladipo, bonafide all-star, one of the best shooting guards, but Caris LeVert has a very unique skill set. Nick, shut me up. Get me to JB Team of the Week, because I'm losing it, mate. I'm losing it.
All right. Back to JB Team of the Week.
Yeah, regular schedule programming.
JB Team of the Week.
Yes, for those of you who are new, this is where we recognise the players that have been outstanding in their position for the week just gone. So we'll start here with the point guard position. Stephen Curry, opening night, was back to his scintillating ways in Golden State's opener against the Thunder, posting 32 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, and 5 three-pointers made. Nothing surprising there, except for the rebounds. Rebounds and assists.
He's underrated. I mean, he's an underrated rebounder. I think guard rebounding is underrated in this league, and how it initiates the offense.
But, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Devin Booker, 35 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. Got him the MVP chant in the Suns opener. Don't know about that.
I mean, they've got a lot to be excited about.
Jimmy
Suns.
Butler got the MVP chant today.
That's true.
It's been a weird week for the MVP chant.
Kawhi got it on his 31-point game anyway.
Makes a little bit of sense.
So, Booker taking out the shooting guard position. At the small forward, you got Kevin Durant. He was a catalyst for the Warriors. Narrow win over the Jazz with 38 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He had the chance to win it. And scuffed it.
Jonas Jerebko, baby.
But of all the players, I'm bloody hell, Jerebko. At the power forward spot, we mentioned a little bit about this man, Nikola Mirotic.
Nikola.
Having two fantastic games this week. 30 points, 6 of 8 from 3. 10 rebounds as well, including 7 offensive rebounds. Shooting 55%. From the field, and 75% from 3 in 29 minutes.
Dang.
That was his opening game. He quickly cemented... the Pelicans quickly cemented their status in the West with that massive statement game against the Rockets. And he backed it up with 36 points, where he went 14 of 21 from the field, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, and... they just destroyed the Kings.
They did.
Two amazing games from Mirotic. Mate, take out the center.
Another Nikola Jokic had this is our greatest debate.
running thing, yeah.
We might have to look into this. Had an historically efficient night in his team's win over the Suns. And the first triple-double of the regular season. 35 points, 11 of 11 from the field, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, 4 steals, 1 block, 0 turnovers. In only 30 minutes, him and Wilt Chamberlain are the only players to record a triple-double while being perfect from the field. It was also the fastest 35-point triple-double in NBA history. It's literally the perfect game, Nicholas, apart from the fact that he missed a free throw.
He missed one free throw, which was just like... I've got an app that essentially it's like little dials.
Okay.
And so... every one of his dials was full because he never missed it, except for the little free throw. And it was just like, he shot 90% for the free throw line. Like,
that's crazy.
The perfect guy. I've been low on Mirotic. I've been low on Jokic and just proved me so wrong. And I love it. I love it. And yeah, beautiful stuff. So
no Davis, no Giannis, no Kawhi, but that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah,
I know,
that's right. All right, so we've got Stephen Curry, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Mirotic, and Nikola Jokic taking out the first week of JB Team. Now let's head up Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella.
Best all around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie: expect the unexpected.
Yes, for those of you who are new, this is where we award 1, 2, 3 votes.
Nick, is that song on iTunes?
Spotify? No, it's not.
Put it on, mate.
It should be, right? to the rookies based on their weekly performances, similar to JBT. So taking out the one vote, Trae Young scored 20 points, went 7 of 18 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3, two or three free throws, so not bad there, while adding 9 assists, 2 rebounds, a steal, a block in 33 minutes during their loss to the Grizzlies. So Leonard have picked themselves up a nice piece there.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Trae Young and how he might be the bust. We talked about the rookie previews and such, but he was great. Two votes. DeAndre Ayton helped get the Suns a surprise opening game win over the Mavs. 18 points, 8 of 11 from the field. 10 rebounds, nice double-double. Surprising, 6 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Igor Kokoshkov's offensive system is pretty. You've been high on the Suns, Nicholas. I don't know how your really wild, random like just takes...
Hey, I mean, I put Toronto fifth. That's looking very, very wrong.
Who's doing 3 votes?
I'll do the 3 votes. In his home debut and a win over Minnesota, Luka Doncic was electric. Finished with 26 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block. Players under the age of 20 to have such nights include Melo, Durant, Irving, LeBron, Lamar Odom, Clifford Robertson. Amazing company.
Yeah,
so like he started the season really well.
The Suns game was just a teaser. You know, he obviously Ayton probably outshot him, so to speak, in that sort of rookie aspect. But early on, I was struggling a little bit. I was looking at, oh, Mo Bamba had a nice night. And then, you know, oh, Marvin Bagley had a nice night, put up some numbers. But, you know, Luka, I was expecting a big one from him, and he did very well. These three...
I mean, there seems to be no growing pains from EuroLeague and...
This is,
I mean,
literally who we probably expected to be the three guys battling it out for Rookie Watch and Rookie of the Year. Rookie Watch is doing its thing. Nick, it's been a while since we played this music. DBS, I'm excited to have it back, and I'm excited to hear what players we've got on board, mate. Play that music for me, white boy.
Drop.
Steven, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you.
Bench.
No, God, please, no! No!
Start.
All right, that's more like it.
This is DBS.
Yes, DBS stands for Drop, Bench, Start. So we'll give you 3 players and we'll tell you exactly who we're dropping, benching, and who we're starting. So this week is in the theme... What are you playing, mate? This week is in the theme of... Poor, bad. Hold on.
Bad.
Point guards.
Bad.
Point... No, okay, I'll stop.
Point guards?
Crappy point guards.
Yeah, shitty.
All right, so we've got Derrick Rose, bad. Michael Carter-Williams, and Raymond Felton, mate.
The D-Rose stand's going to be coming at us, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bad.
At the JBT, Nick. Not at the JBT.
I mean, should we just quote what he did? Like, should we just, you know...
He's gone pretty well.
I mean, this year he has. So, like, is it no surprise that... I mean, I'm starting Rose.
I mean, yeah, I'm definitely starting Rose as well.
I mean, I don't. It's got to be interesting between Felton and MCW.
Yeah, I was inspired to do this because I put a poll out earlier in the day. Who would you rather have on your team right now? Derrick Rose, Michael Carter-Williams. 84% Derrick Rose.
I mean, that's not surprising.
The fact
there.
That Michael Carter-Williams got some votes did surprise me. Maybe some people do like that defense.
Hey, they're still loving that 13-14 Rookie of the Year. Yeah. Michael Carter,
come on, bro. He's so trash right now. And he's just an absolute eyesore to watch. He just can't make a layup, which is pretty bad. Mm. Like, I can make a layup.
Was it Michael Carter Williams that mixtape was done and they put Smash Mouth's All Star over it as well? Was that him?
I don't know. You want to Google it? Well, sure.
I mean, we're both going to be starting Derrick Rose, definitely. He has started this season amazingly.
Yeah.
Obviously, the season before was not... Was not great. Yes, Rose. Hey! Was not great, but he started 16 points a game in his 3 games so far.
Yeah, he's been pretty good.
Coming off the bench, and he's sort of embraced that bench role.
He's sort of the number one scoring option, which is not a good thing for Minnesota. No,
I mean, it might be. He's making threes.
Yeah, but like...
Rose is making threes,
it's
Jack.
It's unsustainable, Nick. That entire organization is unsustainable, but... I'm going to bench... No, wait. Drop, bench, start. I almost forgot what our entire thing was. I'm benching... Mr. Dadbot himself, Raymond Felton.
Raymond Felton.
He just gets it done, bro. He just gets it done.
He has had a few games, yeah. And
what are his nicknames? Felts.
He's just got one.
Felts. All right, Feltsy. We're going to call him Feltsy. Feltsy, for me, is a proven commodity. How many seasons in the NBA, Nick?
Derrick Rose's nickname? Windy City Assassin.
That's not bad.
That's awesome.
Bit long, though.
Poo. P-O-O-H.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
But Poo is...
Because he wins. He's Winnie. What? Maybe. I don't know.
What is...
Winnie the Pooh.
Ah!
Holy maybe. That's a
holy
stretch.
Holy crap, that's a stretch.
That is a stretch.
Get back to Feltsy's B-ball ref page, mate. How many seasons has he had in the NBA right now?
He has had a lot.
That's, so he's a proven commodity for me. You know, 15... since 2005, 2006. So like 13-year vet or so. 14 years. Gets it done.
But
never has averaged...
He's bounced around a lot.
9 points per game last season. That's not too bad. You know, if we're going... And
7 points. He played all 82 and averaged 7 points a game.
Yeah, it's not bad.
For the Thunder.
He's a backup point guard. Russ is just hogging it. If Raymond Felton started for the Oklahoma City Thunder, they would have won their series against the Utah Jazz.
Oh, hot take.
It's a completely hot... And it's so hot that it's cold because it's wrong.
As much as I Feltsy. Am bagging Raymond Felton, Feltsy. I would actually have to agree with you. Because I'm fairly sure that that mixtape with Smash Mouth's Over the Top was Michael Carter Williams.
Of course it was.
It was a three name. It was either Kid Gilchrist or Michael Carter Williams.
Definitely wasn't Hollis Jefferson.
And I'm... No. Don't... I mean, I'm the only one who can bag Rondé. Hollis Jefferson. It's just not an NBA player.
Hey, he had a kid the other day, so congrats to Rondé.
Does that kid now have four names?
Anyway. Rondé Hollis Jefferson.
Son. Jefferson son.
Jefferson son.
Yeah, I mean, Carter Williams is a joke. Is a joke of the league.
His PER like, this season is 3.4.
I mean, oh my God. His win shares for this season is -0.1. I've never seen a win share in the negative, Jack.
He's not a good... okay.
But he won Rookie of the Year.
He's better than us at basketball. Is that...
That's the nicest thing you can say.
I can't say much more. He's played... Look, he... Injuries have curtailed him a little bit in Chicago last time. I think if anywhere is going to revive him, it's going to be Houston. And if Chris Paul's out for an extended period, you know, 5 to 10 games, Carter Williams is going to get some minutes. And we're going to see if he has a future in this league. Feltsy has proven that he has, well, he doesn't have a future, but he's had a pass in this league. You know, over a decade in the league, you don't do that if you're no scrub.
He can just be a professional basketballer. Like,
yeah.
He can just...
Make a play,
he can,
make
he can
a three.
Be what you want and whatever you want him to be.
Do you want me to have sex with Raymond Felton, Nicholas?
You can look at him all seductively. I mean, he's got the biggest booty of any NBA player as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Gershon Yabusele.
I'm this. Putting him on my bench because he's going to keep that bench warm. You know?
Sometimes you need some warm pine to come home to.
Sometimes this segment is very good.
It is. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not, but it's been fun.
D-Rose definitely starting, benching Felton, and definitely drop. Like, feel like the two extremes, like, we definitely start, definitely drop.
Yeah, I just wanted to... I can't remember who else I was going to put in here. I think I was going to put in Emmanuel Mudiay. It might have made things a little bit tougher.
Yeah,
I think
would have. You can get rid of either one of the extremes.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, Mudiay and Carter Williams would be similar because they're both sort of young, unproven guards. Well, obviously, Williams has won some things in terms of awards, but Rookie of the Year, Malcolm Brogdon won one. Though he's doing some nice things. But DBS was fun, Nick. The whole episode was fun. Wild episode. I'm befuddled. I'm out of words. I forgot what the name of the pod was. Did you write it down?
No, I didn't. So you're going to have to listen back now.
Okay, have fun with that, mate. I'm going to get to bed. But it's been fun, mate.
That's it for us for another week. So thank you for tuning in. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. Just the Dash Radio channel.
That's it.
You can also hit us up on podcasts, Apple Pods, Block Talk Radio, wherever you listen to your pods, we'll be there. And chuck us a rating and review, help us out a lot as well. As we mentioned before, at the JManJBT and at JBTNick, I am back on Twitter.
He's back, baby!
And doing some fire takes. And at OTG Basketball, you can follow that for some awesome NBA articles written by Jack and heaps of other contributors there. We've got Facebook, so just search Just Ball Things, you'll find us. JBT Podcast at Gmail as well is our email. If you want to hit us up there, we'll read them on the show.
So remember, it's you guys that make the show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep bowling, superstars.